Okay, our guest for the remainder of the program is Sheila Matthews, who is the co-founder, along with Patricia Weathers of Able Child. That website is ablechild.org. Sheila, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me on again.
Oh, I always enjoy hearing from you and hearing about what you're doing, and you're doing so many wonderful, good things. You're always engaged in something. I mean, it's just amazing to me.
Yes, and we had a huge win here in Connecticut with a bill that I worked on, I'm delighted to tell you about, which is the Prescription Drug Container Bill, which has the 1-800-MEDWATCH number now on generic drugs. Yeah, so we're getting there, Deanna.
Oh, that's wonderful, wonderful. People just need to look at the bottle. I mean, if they do prescribe to drugs, if they go and pick up those drugs, if they go to the doctor, they need to know what they're taking. And certainly you're a great advocate for parents being able to give consent, knowing what you're taking. So it's just terrific.
Yes, I mean, the really nice part about the 1-800 number is that the FDA wants to hear about the adverse events, and it's not just psychiatric drugs, because you know that's my passion. I really strongly believe that children can learn without psychiatric drugs. I don't see the value in them. However, there are consumers that do. And that's fine, but the fact is that we should have the right to say, I don't want to choose that path for my child. So getting the 1-800 number, if you happen to have a child on psychiatric drugs and you're having your child's having an adverse event, in the state of Connecticut now, with this new 1-800 number on the generic brands only, you can call the FDA and they will tell you how to report a side effect. So it's a foot in the door. You know, I'm hoping that the Mercks and the Pfizers say, what a great idea to give the consumer access to this valuable drug adverse reporting system. Why don't we put it on our labels as well? So that's what I'm pitching to them, and I'm hoping that they do it automatically, but I have a feeling I'm going to have to go next session up here in Connecticut and try to get it onto all drugs.
And hopefully they won't lose your paperwork, as has happened in the past.
I know, Deanna. It has been a journey. It has been a real journey trying to help get informed consent for the consumer. And as you know, I've worked on school shootings and the link with the psychiatric drugs to increased risk of violence and suicide. So getting Adam Lanza's mental health records has been, you know, they're still in the state of Connecticut, to update you, they are still not releasing his mental health records.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't think they were. I did want an update on that. And there's a lot of people who don't realize the situation there, that in fact, somebody says, well, why don't you just file an FOI request and get Adam Lanza's medical records? And I said, oh, right. And I responded, I said, well, there is a group, Able Child, with their attorney, Jonathan Emord, who has done that. They held a hearing, and recite for us what the assistant attorney general said. What was his name? Patrick Quanisi.
Right. One of the reasons he had said that he did not want the release of the documents was that he was in fear that if the public got access to the medical records, that everybody would go off of their medications.
Right.
So I thought that was very telling, because it's like, well, what if you tell the consumer what occurred? I have to tell you, the American people are very forgiving, and I believe that if you were honest up front with this mass murder in Newtown, Connecticut, and you laid out the facts, then I understand it to be that the people would say, okay, these are the facts, let's do the next right thing and get legislation passed that protects this from happening again. But that's not the case, Deanna. They are basically, the state of Connecticut is forcing all new mandatory mental health screenings through executive orders, with President Obama giving millions of dollars to a Newtown and a teacher training in first aid. It's called mental health first aid. And basically, our teachers are now going to be trained to spot the next Adam Lanza. But the fact of the matter is, we know that Adam Lanza did receive mental health. He did get spotted, and he was released. He was examined, as you know, and as you've written about in your book, is that he was seen at Yale Child Study Center, and he was deemed not a harm to himself or other people, and he was released by the Department of Psychiatry at Danbury Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the same set of facts since the last time I spoke to you, but the frightening thing here is their marketing machine continues to twirl. And now we have a new bill on the federal level, which is again using the victims of Sandy Hook to push this mandatory mental health in the name of one of the victims, and for social and emotional learning. Well, we know where that comes from. You know, that's all from the psychiatric industry.
Sure.
So, you know, we're still fighting away here. I mean, we did have some wins with this landmark legislation on the MedWatch 1-800, but the fact is we still don't have Adam Lanza's mental health records.
And you've also attempted to get those from Dr. Carver, the state medical examiner, and he just gave you a cover letter,
mm-hmm.
correct?
That's correct. When we went to the FOIA, which is the Freedom of Information Commission up here in Connecticut with Jonathan Emor, as you mentioned, first of all, he's a fabulous lawyer.
Oh,
and
yes.
Really was targeted on the detail of procedure. You know, basically, they were taking the state of Connecticut and the FOIA Commission basically were taking what the chief medical examiner posted on his website as the law, but the fact is he never got the law passed. He just put up on his website that next of kin can only get these records, but no law was ever passed, Deanna.
Wow.
So Jonathan pointed that out, and basically what happened at the end of our FOIA commission hearing was they basically, the commission ruled, well, you need to go to the courts. If you want a decision on this, you need to go to the courts, because we recognize what the website says at the chief medical examiner's office.
Wow.
Without any law to back it up. So they were like, well, we've been doing this for so many years, we listen to them, so what their website says is really the law, but if you go to look that law up, there is no law.
Wow.
So we were kicked to the courts, and we were unable to get the mental health records, which are critical in evaluating what piece of legislation to pass.
And yet they've passed legislation without those records, just based on what the Sandy Hook Advisory Commission recommended and what other people recommended who really were connected to Big Pharma and to the psychiatry industry altogether. I mean, you had a lawyer who sat on the commission who was with NAMI.
Right, and the other thing here is the chairman, the mayor from Hamden, has now been promoted to be the chief policy officer for the governor. So he's going to be setting policy for the executive branch in the state of Connecticut.
Wow, is that handy? Oh,
yes.
My goodness. So I guess he did a good job, huh?
This is what we're facing next legislative session is now all the policy that's coming out of Governor Malloy's office will be crafted by the former head of the Sandy Hook Advisory Commission. And for people listening, that commission was all insiders who have a vested interest in keeping the drugging of children going strong and, you know, not providing consumers with informed consent.
Right.
So this is a very dangerous commission.
Right. And it's, now Scott Jackson was also, he was the mayor of Hampden.
Yes.
And he was the facilitator of the 16-member Sandy Hook Advisory Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a previous association with Malloy because he was on Malloy's transition steering committee. So, I mean, they had a previous association.
Well, that I didn't know about. I know that he basically... the commission ran off of not looking at any of the evidence.
Right.
And they were like, well, we're not going to look at the evidence of what exactly happened at Sandy Hook. And now, since the last time I spoke to you also, there has been several, I think we're up to 12 officials in Newtown, Connecticut, that have been indicted for allegedly selling OxyContin and other prescription drugs right from the police station. And also, yeah, they were police officers in Newtown, and they're indicted. The FBI has indicted several police officers for allegedly selling OxyContin and other prescription drugs and long guns, like weapons and drugs. So we have an entire town that is not in the best shape as far as ethics are concerned here. You know, ethically, we have a real corruption situation. So, you know, I've read the police investigation. I know that you have as well. And a lot of things really don't make sense. It was a very sloppy police report. The chain of command for the evidence in the case were not done correctly. You know, we had the chief medical examiner's staff member, I don't know if you recall this, but she allowed her husband
in. Oh, right.
In
yes.
Okay, so right there you have... Like if Adam Lanza had lived, okay, and he didn't end up killing himself at the end, he could have gotten off, believe it or not, based on the way that the police conducted the investigation. Because his body was the chain of, he's part of the chain of evidence. His body is evidence in that mass murder.
Right.
So the blood that you take from somebody, any of the, we know that a piece of his brain was taken and sent to a university here for examination. We had the chief medical examiner coming out and making all these claims about a piece of the brain being sent to a university to determine whether Adam Lanza had Fragile X syndrome. We don't even know if that actually occurred. So the whole chain of investigative work at the chief medical examiner's office was corrupted the day that the woman allowed her husband in to view the body.
Right, and that was Lance's body that she got to see, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and, well, we also need to understand that Dr. Carver was an employee of the state, he's not an independent person, and he takes his direction from the state because he is an employee, mm-hmm. and that coroners are often, well, they sign a lot of death certificates, and they're not exactly the most, I hate to say this, but the most ethical people.
Well, I was surprised to learn how their toxicology panel that they do drug testing with hasn't been updated for years. So a lot of the newer drugs that are on the panel to be tested in the aftermath of a death, some of those psychiatric drugs aren't even on the screening panel.
Right.
Plus, you have drugs that are under clinical investigation that aren't sent over and updated. So you can have somebody in a clinical drug trial that has an adverse event from that drug, and if they test them at the time of death, that drug will not be on the screening panel, so it will come up negative.
Oh, you're kidding.
Right. I mean, the clinical drug trials are not given to the coroner to be put on their panels. There's a huge loophole in this whole industry of death, so to speak. You know, mm-hmm. we all, unfortunately, if people have watched CSI, you know, there's a lot of investigative work that is conducted in a crime scene after the person dies, whether it's the person inflicting the pain and suffering on other people or the person that has died from that pain.
Right.
So the coroner's office is riddled with problems, and there was various articles in the state of Connecticut saying that they did not meet certification 1 year. So there's a lot of trouble in that agency. So
right. We do have to just break for 3 minutes. We'll be right back, and we'll pick this up on the other side. All righty, we are back. This is Deanna. Our guest for the rest of the program is Sheila Matthews, who is the co-founder, along with Patricia Weathers, of Able Child. That website is ablechild.org. And you were talking about some of the newer drugs are not on the panel that a coroner would detect during an autopsy. And I also want to revisit what you were saying about the Newtown Police Department, because people are going to jump on that and say, yeah, that police department in Newtown, they were just all in on this, and it was a hoax, and Sandy Hook didn't happen, because there's some people that are making that stupid claim.
Well, you know, this is Able Child's position. We work on mental health, and the fact of the matter is, when you have the police that were in charge of the investigation actually being indicted for allegedly selling prescription drugs and being involved in the selling of guns, that both of which were involved in that case. We had guns being involved in that case, and we had drugs being involved in that case, because Adam Lanza was on psychiatric drugs at one point in his life. We're missing 5 years of his mental health records.
Right.
You know, I think that people must understand this. We only can look at the facts of the case, and we can only look at the direction in which the country is going based on those facts and based on the case. And the fact is that when you have a state pushing more mandatory mental health and more gun control, yet you have the people that were in charge of the investigation dealing in guns and drugs, you know, that taints the overall investigation. Now, nobody from Able Child is saying that nobody died. I just think that this is the point. The point is that these school shootings are happening across the country, and we need to get a handle on stopping them. And if we ignore that there are players in these investigations of these school shootings that are not ethical, whether it's the policeman, whether it's a governor, whether it's a senator, whether it's, you know, just a criminal, whoever's doing criminal behavior, they need to be stopped. And if the police officers in Newtown were dealing controlled substances, they need to be held to account.
Exactly.
Anybody who asked questions, now, Deanna, I went to Newtown, and I tried to get a petition started with a mother from Newtown to get my Freedom of Information request heard before FOIA. Now, I gathered over 300 signatures within one day.
Wow.
99% of the people that the mother and I met with at the Newtown dump, because that's where we ended up collecting signatures, and you have to be a resident in order to get into that dump.
Okay. Okay, we're at the top of the hour, and we'll be right back, and then pick this up on the other side about
sure.
these signatures. Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest for the remainder of the program is Sheila Matthews, who is the co-founder, along with Patricia Weathers, of Able Child. The website is ablechild.org. And you were talking about, well, you were at the Newtown dump, and you were Patricia
Sabato, a mother in Newtown.
Right.
And we were collecting signatures, and two police officers flew in their cars, and they came up to, jumped out of their cars, and one went into the office, and the other one came up to me and threatened me, asked me what I was doing, and he was like, "We're getting complaints about you, and we're shutting you down." And I was like, "Well, I'm a nonprofit organization. Here's my business card, and I'm collecting signatures for a petition." So then they went into the office, and the people at the office was like, "No, these ladies are great, and we're having no problem here." And then he really put the pressure on us and said, "Well, if we get another complaint, we're taking you down to the station." So at that point, I felt as a nonprofit working with this mother that it would be better just to leave and end the day. And so I did feel threatened by the Newtown Police Department. Now, trust me, I do not believe that all police are bad, and I have the utmost faith in our system. However, the Newtown Police Department threatened me personally, so I feel that there was something going on.
So what were they trying to hide? They were trying to hide their illicit drug dealing, or what?
Oh, I believe that they absolutely were. I believe that, from my understanding, working with this mother and seeing the children in Newtown, this was, you know, I had been working with this mother prior to Sandy Hook event, and there was a lot of heroin, children on heroin ODing. There's been several children that have ODed in Newtown, Connecticut. And Adam Lanza, as you know, was on several different psychiatric drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what happened. So, you know, when all these people come out and they say, "Oh, Sandy Hook is a hoax," and this and that, this is the direct result of very poor investigation and police corruption. That's what is at the root of this. So, yes, people are going to question what happened, because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. The police investigation doesn't make sense.
Okay, well, the local Newtown police turned over the investigation to the Connecticut State Police. Now, what and that happened within 24 hours, correct?
Well, yes, the state police were called in pretty much immediately. Able Child spoke to the state police trooper in charge the day of the event. We mailed them and called them about the link between the psychiatric drugs and the other school shootings around the country. Uh-huh. We called the state police that day. Now, Deanna, I've been working on Sandy Hook for over 2.5 years, and I could tell you I have gone into the select woman's office in Newtown, and the day we were there, she was on the front cover with Vice President Biden. They were doing a round robin of gun violence. Before Sandy Hook, at the end of the week, we had the tragedy. Within the end of the week, there was already a title to the outcome, and it was gun violence. The police investigation was not done yet. We didn't have the final police report.
Right.
And how all of a sudden we have these politicians going out there and saying we need gun
right.
control. That's not a good way to conduct an investigation of one of the worst mass shootings in U.S. history with young children involved.
Right. And you're talking about, what's her name, Lodra?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I went to her office with the mother. We wanted to give her the same information that we were giving to the state police, that we mailed to the governor. I emailed a list of all the shooters across the country and their link to the psychiatric drugs directly to the governor's office the day it happened.
Oh, to Malloy's office, okay.
That's correct. I did it to the state police department the day it happened. I worked trying to get involved and submit testimony to the Sandy Hook Advisory Commission, the one that we're talking about, their
right.
rulings. Able Child was denied access every step of the way during this investigation. So when people say, oh, it didn't happen, or it's because there's corruption at the root of this. 100% corruption, and that is proven to be fact at this point, because
right.
we have several Newtown police officers indicted for allegedly, now they haven't been committed to, you know, they've been indicted. So there has to be a process for them, and they're innocent until proven guilty. But I could tell you that Sandy Hook should not be setting the agenda for the entire nation regarding gun control or mental health spending, because they can't even produce 5 years of Adam Lanza's mental health records.
Exactly.
So there is something amiss here, and I can tell you what it is. It's called corruption.
That's
what it is. And we have the FBI indicting these Newtown police officers, and quite frankly, before Newtown happened, again, I'm going to tell you this, there were several, I work as a nonprofit with children, volunteer, if they get in trouble in the court system, a lot of them choose my organization to do community service with. And I worked with several boys from Newtown, and they were on the track. They started out on Ritalin, and then they went to other psychiatric drugs, and then they went to heroin. Okay, so there was a massive drug problem prior to Sandy Hook happening, and not one person has mentioned it that knows about it, which is now Senator Blumenthal knows very well, because he got letters from Newtown residents complaining about the trailer parks that were dealing heroin in Newtown. So there was a massive drug problem. The Newtown police, they've been indicted as being participating in selling steroids and, quote, other prescription drugs. They don't mention what those are. And four long guns, which were involved. Now, remember, we had the long gun that was involved in the Sandy Hook mass murder. So I don't know what to believe, and I'm not going to put anybody down for questioning this investigation, nor the other investigations across the country, because I think that the police work is not where it needs to be. And I'm not a police officer. I'm only a mother who stumbled into this whole thing based on the fact that they were trying to force my son on drugs. So I have no vested interest. I don't get paid for anything. My time is I volunteer my time. And we don't get any money from any pharmaceutical companies. But we're very concerned as parents for our informed consent rights regarding these psychiatric drugs that are being pushed by the state.
Of course, yes. And when you look at the number of big pharmaceutical companies in Connecticut, there's a lot of them.
That's right, and they want more. And President Obama is now looking to build some kind of research lab up here in Connecticut. And all our businesses are fleeing the state. You know, our manufacturing, we had some manufacturing companies here that have left. They drove out the gun manufacturers. Now, you know, I have to tell you something. Our issue is mental health.
Right.
It is not gun control. But I could tell you the way they have vilified the gun makers and the gun owners has been horrendous. This is not the way you conduct an investigation. You do not jump to conclusions.
Right.
And there's so many questions about the investigation that I have concerns about. I mean, like, I think that Nancy Lanza's journal, her personal journal, should be released.
Of course.
Why the state of Connecticut wants to hold on to her journal that could give tremendous insight into his mental health treatment is beyond me. And as you know, we have a treating psychiatrist that the state of Connecticut knew of the night of that event. They knew who that treating psychiatrist was, Dr. Paul Fox.
Fox. Mm-hmm.
Now, he obviously was allowed to destroy records and flee the country.
Yes.
And he had sex with his patients. Let's not forget that. You know, but we don't hear I don't hear the governor coming out and saying, you know, we need to regulate psychiatry better. We need to provide informed consent for the consumer. And we need to put heavy, harsh penalties on psychiatrists that have sex with their patients or they multiple drug a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old with drugs that are not approved by the FDA.
Exactly.
I never heard the governor say those things. Those are the types of things that I would want my leader to be focused on, the facts and the evidence, and not create a political agenda, which was done within days of this event.
Yes. Now, you mentioned all the millions of dollars that went to Newtown from the federal government. Now, a lot of people think that these millions of dollars went to the victim families and or to pay them off for being actors or something, but that those dollars actually are going towards implementing new mental health programs and emotional programs for Newtown.
Well, yes, and not only for Newtown, but the state of Connecticut. So the millions of dollars that President Obama allocated in an executive order, he basically created an executive order for a new program called Mental First Aid.
Okay.
Mental Health First Aid something like that.
Okay.
With first aid, mental health. And so with that, it creates a shell. And that shell now is going to move across the state to train teachers to spot children like Adam Lanza.
Right.
So our teachers are going to move away from teaching reading and writing and working with children that have dyslexia and working with children in speech and language, and now they're going to be trained to be in the mental health field, which is
right.
subjective, which there's no way you can predetermine whether somebody's going to be violent or not. Actually, the best way to do that is look at what drugs they're taking, because that has a big indication. If they're on a psychiatric drug, they are more likely to kill somebody else or themselves. But
right.
But the state of Connecticut is not looking at that. They don't want to have, their eyes are closed and their fingers are in their ears and they're saying, la, 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 we don't want to hear that. So this new spending that is coming down is all, it's not for actresses or actors. It is for mandatory training of teachers to spot a child that could be like the next Adam Lanza. But again, we have no, there's no recipe for that.
Are they just brainwashed there that they do not understand that that these drugs are dangerous? How could they be so, I just don't understand why they're not asking good questions.
Well, because it's financially, it's gearing their political campaign. Okay, pharmaceutical companies are very wealthy, and the fact is that we haven't had a public hearing on President Obama's executive order and I'm not just picking on him. You know, mm-hmm. President George W. Bush as well did the same thing with
sure.
these mental health grants to Connecticut. Almost, I worked on that. It was called the Mental Health Transformation Act, and,
mm-hmm.
and Connecticut got, this was before Sandy Hook, Connecticut got $13 million to revamp and fix the broken mental health system.
Right.
That was before Sandy Hook, and none of that money was accounted for. There was never any, I asked for a stenographer during the mental health grants so we could keep track of minutes of where the money was going, and my request to then Governor Rell, who was a Republican, was denied.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the Democrats, it's the Republicans as well. This
right.
is a bipartisan cluster.
So it's the people, the politicians who are really generating this this whole program, but the people in general, the population, are accepting the word of the politicians?
No, like you had mentioned, my testimony was lost, and
right.
We went over that. I went up to the Capitol. The people, unfortunately, aren't involved in this process at all.
Okay.
They don't know how to testify. The general public does not submit testimony on bills, and they just watch the TV, and they're either for Republican or for
yes.
Democrat, and that's the way they look at politics. They don't look at it. Each bill is impacting their money, their dollar, and their child's well-being. So without public hearings, you know, we didn't have a public hearing on President Obama's executive order for mental health first aid.
Right.
It was an executive order, so you bypass that process. So the people are the victims here. In my opinion, the people are the victims. We have an education system that is crumbling
right.
under mental health. we don't have the fundamentals. We have teachers. Imagine being a teacher trying to devote your time to teaching a child how to read and write, and now being told you need to be trained to be a mental health worker.
Right.
That's where we're at. So we have a real problem. Able child trying to educate people on the fact that you need informed consent prior to placing your child on any of these psychiatric products and services that they're now delivering through the education system.
Right. And if parents go in and they're talking with the teacher, who is an authority figure, and the teacher is saying, oh yes, this would help your child. So many parents fall for this and go ahead and do it. And, the ramifications, the consequences of this are terrible, because once they go on, ADHD drugs, Ritalin or something like that, which it's a Schedule II drug, it's very addictive, then they are going to perhaps move on to something else. And you say that there were policemen in Newtown who were actually selling illicit drugs. Oh my gosh, this is mind-boggling. Okay, we're going to a break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest for the remainder of the program is Sheila Matthews, who is the co-founder, along with Patricia Weathers of Able Child. Their website is ablechild.org. Please visit the site. They have fabulous, fabulous resources there. Just visit the site and check out what they have. And make a donation. Definitely make a donation. This is just amazing. Just amazing to me. Police in Newtown indicted for selling controlled illicit drugs. Mm-hmm. I once was working with, doing some investigation regarding an Indian reservation, and a lot of the kids who were on drugs or receiving drugs actually were receiving them from their teachers.
Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, somehow along the way, the lawmakers have been convinced that this is the solution. And I can't imagine that we're going to throw away our children's liberty and their constitutional rights and allow them to not have informed consent and be linked up into these gateway drugs. Now, we have the study from Berkeley that says that the long-term use of drugs such as Ritalin are gateway drugs. And we have a heroin epidemic here in Connecticut, I could tell you that. And so it's a terrible situation to rely on the police and find out that they're part of the problem. And, you know, I'll just tell you that they seized hundreds of vials of steroids, about 600 grams of raw testosterone powder, and 350 grams of powder cocaine. Four long guns were also seized. And the other thing is this has international implications, because the drugs were coming in through China. So, you know, this whole thing with Newtown is not only a little town being corrupt, but we have drugs and coming in from China, and, you know, the gun situation. So I don't really know what to believe with Newtown, Deanna, and I just would say, we need to look at evidence instead of jumping to conclusions and pinning people against each other. You know, we have the latest shootings in South Carolina where we're talking about a flag.
Right.
We're not talking about the fact that the boy was involved in the court system. We don't know what the mental health treatment was there. I have no idea. But he was also arrested at the mall, and drugs were found in his pocket that were associated with a certain drug that was for addiction. So he had a drug problem. Okay, and now we have the latest, the horrific shooting in Tennessee of four military members that are dead now and other people injured. And, you know, those facts aren't even in yet. And we have the news telling us that it's, you know, he's Muslim or he's...
Right.
And so this creates hatred.
Yes, you're right.
It creates hatred instead of getting down to the facts of the cases and stop blaming guns and blaming this and we need more mental health. Let's take a look at what we have. Let's hold those responsible who are involved in corruption, trafficking children, trafficking drugs, or trafficking guns, and get to some sort of solution here, because we're dying. Our population is being shot at, and it's just
right.
Horrendous. So I'm grateful that you wrote a book about it. I found it fascinating. How was the feedback on your book?
Actually, well, there's certain groups that really, we'll talk about it when we come back from this 3-minute break. Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest is Sheila Matthews, who is the co-founder, along with Patricia Weathers, of Able Child, and that website is ablechild.org. And you asked me about my book. I think it is selling fairly well on Amazon, and the people who believe that the shooting did not really occur don't want to read the book. Or to have me even talk about it in certain forums, and because I think there's been so many claims and so much, propaganda and all kinds of claims saying that it didn't happen, which I believe is part of the cover up. It's Operation Concealment. They're trying to cover things up, mm-hmm. But they're covering up the wrong things, and people really need to investigate and see what really did occur. But it's damage control. I talk about the damage control operation in my book. And but anyway, if people don't read it, then of course they can evoke plausible denial and say, "Oh gosh, we didn't know that."
Well, I want to thank you for writing it. It took a lot of courage, and I know how hard it is to work on Sandy Hook and be heard, because I've been trying to do it for quite some time myself. And, you know, that's the important thing, is to have an open dialogue. But when we only have one side, as with me in the state of Connecticut, only allowing one side of, you know, to participate in hearings, all pro-drug, all pro-mental health, versus parents' rights and children's liberty, we don't really have a free society. And that's what's frightening me up here in Connecticut, is, you know, when did we stop not having the ability to participate in the process?
Right. And you have really just done so much, as far as, when you were out talking with the people, the parents, and collecting the signatures, and you did that in March, really early, quite early, in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
What was the response of the parents in Newtown from whom you got the signatures?
Like I said, we received overwhelming support from the residents of Newtown. overwhelming support. Some comments like, absolutely, without a doubt, we want these records. Yes, we need these records. Yes, we need the toxicology report. Yes, yes, yes. I mean, thank you. Thank you for doing this. We really appreciate it. Those were the comments that we heard. And the gentlemen running the Newtown dump were so encouraging. I mean, we spent the day there because we were scheduled to collect signatures at the Dunkin' Donuts in Newtown, but when we showed up, all of a sudden the owner changed his tune and was like, no, you're not allowed to, yeah. So we had to improvise, and, you know, I went with the mother to throw her stuff out at the dump, and all of a sudden it came to us, why don't we collect signatures here, because there's a line of cars.
Right.
So, yeah, so we did, and everybody was very, very supportive. And you know what? There's a lot of controversy right now in Newtown because they ripped that school down and built that, they're building that big Sandy Hook elaborate school, and there's children at another school across town that want to stay in their school system, and they want to close that school down now and ship them to the Sandy Hook school. And the parents are like, no, this is an antique school. This is an old building. We want to have our children here, and we don't want to go to that school.
Wow.
So there's a lot of voices within the town of Newtown that are not being heard.
It's a relatively small town. I mean, there's like 28,000 there.
It's a gorgeous little town. You know, it really is a nice town. And, yeah, I think that the town is being held captive in a lot of ways. In the media, I mean, it is not like they're being heard. Not everybody agrees with what's going on. Not everybody wants gun control or more mental health. This is a higher agenda that is stepping on the victims of what happened to push an agenda that benefits the vendors, the contractors, the security contractors, the mental health and the drug companies. So this is not benefiting the child.
Right.
You know, we have lost track of that. It's a corrupted system. It's a beautiful system, and it is the best system in the world, but it does get corrupt because people figure out how to get around, you know, and that's why it needs to be cleaned out every once in a while. That's
sure.
Why we have elections. That's why we have open public hearings.
Are supposed to have open public hearings.
Yes, and that's the whole reason why we were denied, because think about it. The chief medical examiner posted up something on his web saying, this is the next of kin rule. That's why you're not a stakeholder. You can't have these documents. But he never went through the legislative process to get that. He just put it up on his website. Imagine if that's how we start passing laws.
Right.
We just put it up on our website, and this is the new law. Or we write an executive order, and that's the way it is. And that's not the beauty of this country. It's going to public hearings. It's having a debate.
Sure.
Not a hate-filled debate. I mean, look, South Carolina now is inundated with a race debate. And we've lost track. Where's that investigation?
Oh, it's a big diversion.
It's a big diversion.
Right.
And we had the gun diversion here in Sandy Hook, and it's like, we need to get down to causes and conditions.
Sure. And that whole gun issue was a big distraction, a very public distraction. It was a psyop to take the attention off of the drug issue, the drug problem, and to put it all on the... Well, it was the guns, or the government is trying to get our guns, so they orchestrated this big facade in Newtown just to get our guns. Well, what it did was cause more people to go out and buy guns.
Right, and in the meantime, we have children that are dying from heroin overdoses, and where are they learning this? In the schools, they're learning, oh, well, you know, I can't cope. Yeah, here, take this psychiatric drug, and they don't tell the parent it's a Schedule II, you know, controlled substance by the DEA, that it has bad side effects. They're saying that you have this subjective mental illness that you can't even get a blood test for.
Right.
So, I mean, we're in a fix, in a very bad fix, and it's people like you, Deanna, that write books, and you know what? Not everybody's going to agree with you. Not everybody agrees with Abel Childs, you know, but I try to get along. We, as an organization, try to get along with everybody. We're for everybody.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
We're for the people.
Yes, and particularly the children.
Absolutely.
And children also learn from their parents. If they see their parents taking Prozac or taking something else, they assume, well, you can fix anything at all with a pill, with a medication. And there's a lot of kids who are breaking into homes, or at least taking their parents' drugs from the medicine cabinet to school and selling them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's horrible.
Well, addiction is, you know, you would sell your own family to get a fix, you know.
Sure.
So the fact that there's a heroin epidemic, and again, this goes international. We're not the only country that suffers from this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have to just start looking at the facts of the shootings and looking at what is the common fact here. Yes, a lot of them use a gun, but let's look at what's in the system of the person. You know, do toxicology reports at the time of death. Even when somebody is, if they live, like look at the Colorado shooter.
Right.
He actually lived. Now, that's an interesting case because he worked at the university. He was in mental health research.
Oh.
So we don't really know. There's a lot of conflicting information at that university as to,
yes,
you know, whether he participated in the research and he was pumped up full of drugs. Who knows?
Right. Now, how do you see Yale's position on all of this? I mean, because when you look at history, when you look at the politicians, I mean, Clinton went to, Bill Clinton went to Yale, Hillary Clinton went to Yale, Bush went to Yale. I mean, and governments have always worked with groups of people, like the Green Gang in China and the Mafia in this country. Politicians seem to have a hand in all this, this drug trafficking. And I don't expect that this is any different now than it was 100 years ago or 50 years ago. But how do you see Yale? What is Yale's position on this?
Well, Yale does a lot, gets a lot of grants, mental health grants. And how I see Yale in this whole scenario with Sandy Hook is they have walked away scot-free. I mean, the last treating psychiatrist, both of them, Dr. Paul Fox, was didn't work for Yale, but I believe he was a referral to,
yes,
Dr. Robert King, who was working on landmark mental health research in a lot of these implants, which, you know, is a concern too. It's experimenting on human beings. That's what psychiatry is. It's different from medical diagnoses because you can actually see, you know, a disease underneath,
sure,
the microscope. So, you know, it is subjective. So Yale Child Studies Center and Yale receives massive amounts of grants that we're funding. So I see a total lack of accountability. I see that they get huge amount of tuition from children that are very interested in going there because of the name. I'm not impressed with the school at all. I mean, you know, as far as all the presidents went to Yale, you know, I just think that it's corrupt. If they're not going to have ethics in research, and they're not going to be accountable in research grants, I think that the public should be concerned about that. And they shouldn't want to tarnish their name. They should want, personally, Dr. Robert King, how he's still working at Yale University and Yale Child Study Center is beyond me.
Exactly. Well, talking about implants, the federal government is now working on passing legislation attached to another bill which allows these implants to be implanted in people's brain.
Well, you know, I think that was my concern with Dr. Robert King and his work on you know, psychiatric disorders that were not being solved by the psychiatric drugs, that they were going to go a level up and do these implants by Medtronic, I believe, has one that I was really concerned about. And then the FDA did that humanitarian waiver to allow them to do these studies and get them to market quick. You know, the fact remains is, if somebody wants to put a chip in their brain, Able Child doesn't have a problem with it. My concern is the informed consent process. You know, you need to tell the participant that the side effects and the potential downside, and you have to protect society, because if we have today, we have people on psychiatric drugs that are walking into movie theaters, cafes, and schools, shooting people up as an adverse event, how are we going to be protected from these implants?
Right.
You know, in the society,
right.
You know, society could be impacted adversely, you know, and you know, the stigma campaign that they put on the mental health, you're not allowed to question somebody's mental health or get their records. Well, society ought to start to question people's mental health treatment, because innocent people are dying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a right to go to a movie theater and not be afraid that a psychiatric patient on multiple drugs is going to come into the movie theater and shoot everybody down. You know,
yes.
He worked at a university. He was a neuro student. I don't know if he was participating in a research. You don't know.
A lot of them do. Yes.
Well, think about it. They have those all the time with student, you know, looking for money.
Sure.
Oh, participate in this research grant, you
sure.
know, and we'll give you $500.
Certainly.
You know?
And they do that with the drug trials. They get people to participate in these drug trials. And when you look at the drug trials for, like, Prozac, they're all stacked trials. But, oh, gosh. This is just amazing.
Well, that's why it's important to focus on informed consent, because at the end of the day, there are some medicines that are life-saving, and there are implants that could potentially save somebody's life, but it's the corruption that is causing the pain to society when you have a drug that you know has such a side effect, and you really can't pull it from the market because you'll lose millions.
Exactly. It's all about money. All about money. And, of course, if the politicians are being paid off by the drug companies, then you're not going to hear about the fact that it's drugs. I have this little bumper sticker on my desk here. Guns don't kill people. People on psych drugs kill people. Okay, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Alrighty, welcome back. Our guest has been Sheila Matthews, who is the co-founder, along with Patricia Weathers of Able Child. That website is ablechild.org. When specifically did you start working on investigating Sandy Hook? Because you already had submitted letters and FOIA requests to Dr. Carver and to the medical examiner's office. You were already doing that and collecting signatures in March of 2013. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was within a very short period of time. When did you start doing this? When did you look at this and say, something is dreadfully wrong here?
The day it happened, I was at work and my phone started ringing off the hook, and it was my attorney, it was Citizens Commission on Human Rights called me, several of my friends, and then the mother from Newtown called me that I had worked with her son prior to, you know, she was one of Able Child's parents. So it happened right down the street from her. So I got calls that day, and I literally left work at lunch and started emailing the list of all the shooters throughout the country to the governor's office.
Okay.
That were tied to the all the other psychiatric drugs. So that day I started working on Sandy Hook, and I actually left my job to do it full time, and now I'm back at my job. But so, yeah, the day it happened, plus some of the women that I work with had children up in the area, all the schools were shut down. So mm-hmm. a lot of people were running home to make sure their children were okay. Mm-hmm. So that was the day I started working on it.
And you know people whose children were killed that day?
I do not know. I do not know. I testified alongside one of the gentlemen that son was killed at a Freedom of Information hearing when they wanted to change the rules in the state of Connecticut to kind of limit that commission after Sandy Hook. But I do not know anybody personally that lost children in that tragic event. I also had worked on Red Lake, Minnesota school shooting, which people forget about, that happened in Minnesota on the reservation where
right.
Jeffrey Wise killed his father and then went to the school. And then I also worked on Virginia Tech and submitted testimony to that commission regarding informed consent in the psychiatric drugs. So when Sandy Hook happened, I had already worked on two other school shootings.
Okay. Now, you don't live in Newtown.
No, I'm not far from Newtown, but I do not live there, no.
Okay. And Patricia, the lady that you gathered signatures with, she knew people that
she lives in Newtown, Connecticut.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, thank you so very much for all that you're doing and continue to do. Thank you for being on the program today and catching us up to all of this. So bless you.
Thank you, Deanna.
Okay. Take care.
All righty. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you soon.